Let me ask you this. Do we live in some uncertain times? We do. I don't know what is. I was thinking about some uncertainty. We recently had that hurricane that blew through the Gulf, and that was terrible. Those poor people out in the verge, that's terrible. Uncertain times. And now if a little bit of that wanted to tear off and blow on over here to Texas and drop a little rain, but the weather is uncertain. We just, celebrated, but remembered 9/11 and all that. I remember talking about where we were. How many of you remember exactly where you were that morning? Yeah. They say that 9/11 is my generation's Kennedy moment, because those who preceded the generation before me, everyone knew where they were when President Kennedy was assassinated. And so the uncertainty of that, what it was, what it is, what it continues to be, the Cowboys, what time do they kick today? 12 o'clock. I was told, have them out by noon, so we'll be all right. Now, are the Cowboys, are they for real? I mean, is that voodoo that we saw last week the real voodoo? I mean, could this be the year? I don't know. I'm thinking about doing a contract holdout, Jeff. Okay. I'm telling you what, if I don't get a new contract, I'm going to start a holdout 2 weeks from today. I had a chance to go to the ballpark in Arlington. This is a rendering of the new one. Why? It's a perfectly beautiful stadium. Why? I went there with my bride, and we sat up, and I sat there, and a tear started rolling down my cheek. I realized I was leaving a little bit of my man card, but so be it. My bride and I were there when the thing opened. We sat on the first row behind the visitor's dugout, the guest of some dear friends of ours, and we're sitting here now, 25 years later, waiting for them to vacate a perfectly beautiful facility. And I thought to myself, my goodness, how quickly 25 years goes. But this is what it's going to look like if they ever open the roof. Here's the thing. If you're going to open it, you already got one that's open. I don't know. Uncertain times. How about this? We live in an economy where buying and selling is what drives our economy. And do you realize that everything in our society tells us you need something more than what you've got? I mean, that's what drives our economy, that you're dissatisfied. Your dissatisfaction makes the economy roll. Now, that doesn't include when your washer breaks and those sort of things. But, it's uncertain, because no matter where you are, then you should be somewhere else. Either you're too young, or you're too seasoned, or you're too tall. I mean, it's just a constant thing. And we don't even want to get into politics. Oh, geez. Can we all just go, oh, one, two, three, oh. That's great. Let's do that again. That made me feel good. One, two, three. Oh, all right. That's awesome. But politics, I mean, could we be more uncertain right now? I mean, what are we going to do? And then, it's better, I think, but we're still having the struggle with, how people perceive our law enforcement and things like that. And the home is still under attack. We're still seeing homes fail at a pretty high average. And one of the challenging facts about that is that's inside church life and outside church life, they're almost identical. And that's concerning. So there's a lot of uncertainty today. We can agree on that. And so the question we have to ask is, where do we go from here? Now, if you want to be a monk, I know of a great monastery in Israel. You can climb up in a mountain and stay there. Dad, how long has that guy been in that monastery? All of his life. He's 90-something years old, and he went into the monastery at 18. So he spent a few days. But where do we go from here? In a time where there's so much uncertainty, where do we go? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I believe that there is a place we can go. I believe there's a solid rock we can stand on. I believe there's a refuge that we can rest in. Psalms 46 gives us this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Cease striving, and know, I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. For the Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, that's very encouraging to me. So I was thinking about this. What are some people or places that we consider a safe refuge? You know, I picked this photo, one, because it's absolutely gorgeous, but in the midst of a storm, a safe harbor for a ship. But I just want to ask you, in your mind and your heart of hearts, what are some areas or perhaps some relationships that you consider to be a safe refuge? I got to thinking about it a little bit, and you know, in my life, safe refuge is my spiritual life, obviously. My marriage is a safe refuge. My family is a safe refuge. My church family is a safe refuge. But what about you? What is a safe refuge for you? Where do you go when the storms blow? Well, it's very important that we have those things. It's very important that we have a way to kind of drop anchor and take a deep breath. You may be here today and the water's over your head and your legs are tired from trying to stay above. Where do we go when we need to take a refuge? Well, I want to talk about three things very quick this morning. First of all, God is our refuge, he says. The word refuge means shelter, hope, and trust. It speaks of a safe place. Sometimes you need a little shelter to get in out of the storm. You need a place to get in out of the sun if you're out around here, or to get in out of the cold if it's wintertime. You need a place of hope. I read an article, and it's been reinforced over and over and over, and we have counselor here. Hope is the one thing a person can't live without emotionally. Is that correct? You can be discouraged, and I mean, you can have a whole lot going on in your life, but when a person loses hope, it's detrimental. And then we talk about trust. God says you can trust him. Let me ask you this question, and I don't want you to answer it out loud in your own mind and your heart. What can you truly trust today? We look, and you know, if we want to go back into what we're discussing a second ago, politicians and that sort of thing, some of the establishments that we place trust in right now is being called into question, isn't it? What can we trust? Whom can we trust, and why? God says, you can trust me. You can trust me. Now, let me give this caveat. You might not always be able to trust the people who claim to know God, because we, you know, we don't bat a thousand. But you can trust God 100% of the time. Trouble comes into all of our lives, but we can seek refuge in the Lord. Can I say this? You can be as close to God as you can be. You can be walking so close to him, you keep knocking the heel off his heel in his shoes. We used to call that blowing out tires. I know, I went a little too far with that anyway. But you can be as close to him as you can be, and you know what? Trouble will still come into your life on time to time. Because life is a troublesome thing sometimes. Sometimes the trouble of other people's lives, has it ever splashed over into your life? Yeah. You're like, hey, wait a minute. I didn't order this. And it splashes over. But he protects us in times of trouble. Look what he says in Proverbs. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Now, what this means is this. It doesn't mean that we're extracted from the trouble. It means that we're protected and delivered through it. I believe one of the greatest misconceptions in our world, and sometimes under the umbrella of the capital C church, is this, is that God will always deliver you from the storm. That's just simply not the case, is it? That's not my experience. Now, God promises to be with me in the storm. God promises to deliver me through the storm. And on occasions, he has delivered me out of the storm. But the majority of the time, we walk through the storm. And I suggest to you this, some of the greatest life lessons we ever learned is through the storms. It's through the trials and the tribulations that we get shaped and molded. It's where the metal of our lives gets warmed up with stress, and it's malleable. And God says, I will always, always, always be with you. I will always, always, always deliver you through the storm. The psalmist says this in 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The Bible says that he's there for us He's not only there for us, he wants us to be there with him. The second is this. God is strength. The word strength means power, might, boldness, or to be mighty. Can I ask you this question? When trials, tribulations, and uncertainties come into our lives, they have a tendency of draining us, don't they? They'll drain us mentally. We spend a lot of time thinking through it. If we're not careful, we'll spend a lot of time with anxiety. You remember a few weeks ago we were talking about anxiety as the what ifs? Worry is when you know the parameters. What ifs is the anxiety. Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if? You can't answer it. There's not an answer because you don't know what the if is. What if? What if? You can't control it. So anxiety is this circular circle of pain. So let me ask you this question. What's going on in your life right now that's draining you? What's going on in your life right now that's draining you? Maybe it's draining you your mental strength. Maybe it's draining your physical strength. Maybe it's draining your spiritual strength. What right now is pulling that battery lower and lower and lower? The Bible says that God is able to strengthen us. Have you ever felt like you're just exhausted? And you just may be. But you know what? The storm keeps raging. The uncertainties stand fast. Well, where do we go? What do? God says, I can strengthen you. Look what the Bible tells us. In Isaiah 40, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. That just simply means this. God never gets tired. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God never gets tired. One, he never gets tired of anything. And two, he never gets tired of you. Amen. Now, amen. Because somewhere, somebody gets tired of you. Hey, be careful, love. Don't laugh that loud. We get rumors. But listen, somewhere, someone gets tired of you. Let's just all be honest. Sometimes you get tired of you too, don't you? Thank you. Now, you need to love you some of you. Don't be that hard. But the creator of everything never grows tired. His understanding is unsearchable. His power, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Who is that? Well, that's me. That's you. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. I'm reaching a place in my life where I'm coming to realize that so much is wasted on the young. Now, I once was young and I wasted it too. But now I'm not as young as I used to be and I get it. But I just watch and I'm like, man, all right, what would I do with that? But those who wait on the Lord, waiting means a recognition, waiting means a admission, waiting means a request, but those who wait on the Lord. Now, it's always there because God is always here. It's always available. It's never diminishing. It's always there. It's like a bank account that never runs dry. It's always there. So the challenge is this. Who goes to make the withdrawal? Wait on the Lord. You will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. My friend, if you're here today and you're weary, if you're here today and you're tired, if you're here today and you just can't seem to get caught up, wait on the Lord. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever imagine. You may be here today and faith is not a part of your life right now, faith in Christ. And the Bible, you really, know less about the Bible and what you know and all those things. I get it. But let me ask you this. Where else have you found the answer to this question? You haven't. Because if you knew where it was, you'd already have gotten it. God says, if you'll wait on me, I will give you strength. The third is this, it's God's provision. God gives help to people in need. I don't know about you. I'm a needy guy. Easy, Ronnie, easy. Easy. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of. Anyway, there we go, duet, brother. I'm threatening with that. But God helps. Have you ever helped someone or you thought you were helping them, but they didn't, A, want your help, or B, they didn't need what help you were willing to offer? Have you ever helped and gave the wrong help? Yeah. God says, I will provide help to you. You see, the challenge about being a human is sometimes, A, I don't know what help I need. Second is this, is I don't necessarily know someone who can give me that help. Don't you just love people who know how to do things? I look around this room and I see all the skills and talents here. I'm telling you this, I think I could answer almost any question with your help right now. From computers to psychology to fires to plumbing. You know, we just go around the room to AC. I mean, we'll go around the room. But God says he'll help us. He doesn't do this from a distance. He does this up close and personal. There's so many in our world that think if there is a God, he's up there somewhere just kind of gallivanting around. But the Bible says that God is close to us. God is with us. Hebrews 13, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if you've lived just a minute, someone has left you. By choice or by force, but someone has left you. We don't want to go. We didn't purpose to go, but we have. But God says, I will never, let's say that word together, shall we? Never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you can walk away from God, parentheses, but God will never walk away from you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? God does not expect us to make it on our own. Do you know why? Because we can't. God never created you and I to make it on our own. Now, I'm all about being self-sufficient. I'm all about taking care of, I get that. But one of the, my contract may be next week. We'll have to see how this statement goes right here. I'm going to say it. You ready, Ronnie? The phrase, God will never give you more than you can what? Carry. That may have come from the pit of hell. Because you know what? From the very get, God knew we couldn't handle it. From the very get, God says, I'm going to give you all that you need, and part of that need is me. From the very get. That's why somewhere in the heart of mankind, eternity lives. That's why we could go out today and we could have 10 conversations with random strangers, and you could find someone who is just as non-quote Christian as you can get. But in here, there's something eternal. There's something. I think that's the fingerprint of God. And we want to encourage one another, and I know it sounds encouraging, but listen, God never designed us to be able to handle it. God says, with me, we'll handle it. The psalmist tells us this, for the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. He delivers them out of, how many?
All.
That means he's in all of them. If he delivers us out of them, that means he's in all of them. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Have you ever had a broken heart? Oh, man, I'm telling you. You might have a broken heart today. And contrite spirit, that's a big word. It just simply means this, humility. The greatest thing you and I can do is when we come to the realization we can't handle everything. I am not soul and self-sufficient. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The bridge between need and provision is built with faith. We can go out that window into our community, and every single person we talk to will have a need. Every single person will have a need. We'll bat 1,000%. The answer to that need is God. That's what God says. Now, I just want to take a real quick survey. Is there anyone here, by the raising of your hand, would agree with that statement, that the answer to the need is God? Okay, so we have evidence here. That's a pretty good majority. I think we'll just gavel that and call it passed. But the challenge that we face is this. Between the need and the provision, there's a thing called faith. Not just faith that there is a God. Not just faith that there was a God. Not just faith that there is this organization called the church. But a faith in God, a biblical faith. Hebrews 11 says this, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him." If we want to please God and we want to bridge to the provision of God, the necessity is the faith. And that's hard. Now, we have faith every day. But expression of faith in God is hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it. Grace is God's acceptance of us through faith and repentance. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. And you say, well, who has access to grace? Every single person in this room. Every single person on the webcast, every single person out that window, and every single person out that window, and every single person out that window, all of us have access to grace. But not everyone will access it. Faith is our acceptance of God's acceptance of us. You see, faith is when I recognize that God really does love me. And God really does want to be a part of my life and really has answers to my questions. In light of God's provision, how should we respond in uncertain trials? Should we respond? How should we respond? We can go down the path of anxiety. That's a good answer right there. If my next slide says that, then we're prophets. Do we go down the pathway of anxiety? Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, what if? Do we camp out in the woods of worry? We just live every day wringing our hands. Or can we live with some uncertainty? Can we respond in faith and not in fear? Pastors don't have any different light than you have. Some days are diamonds and some days are stones. Some days we're Superman and some days we're cowards. Some days we're happy, some days not so much. We respond by faith. You know why? Because the Bible says that God's always here. God loves me. He'll never forsake me. God has a plan and a purpose and a promise. All those things, when we learn to live by faith and not by fear, it transforms every circumstance in our lives. Every circumstance in our lives. If God is our refuge and our strength and help, shouldn't we trust him to take care of us? See, it really boils down to trust. I look around this room and I know what you've gone through, and over my 30 years of ministry, I've counted the privilege to live life with a lot of people, and I have seen God time after time after time after time take care. And in my life, and in my bride's life, in our family's life, I've seen time after time after time. My friend, I want to ask you, what provision is being consistent in your life like God? Romans 8 tells us this, "For I am persuaded." I hope this is the way you feel. I hope this is your promise. I can just say this for me because I'm an expert on me. I am persuaded. I'm not delusional. I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods. I'm not trying to boast the number or boost the numbers of ALF. I am persuaded, me, Jimmy Vaughn, am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature, human or artificial intelligence, shall be able to separate me from the love of God. I am persuaded. Why? I got 30 years of track record with God, and he bats 1,000. And here's the thing, is either I place my anchor in God's word and trust him, or I go back out into the open ocean and fight for myself. And I had enough of that, ladies and gentlemen. Someone goes, well, what if all this Christianity stuff's just not real? And well, first of all, it's a stupid question, but don't quote me. No, quote me. You can tweet me. Tweet that. If God's word isn't real, where else do I go? I know from where I came. And the reason I came from there was because that wasn't what I needed. If God's word and his promises and his provision aren't true, what else do I have? But you see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't live by faith. I don't do what I do. I don't commit my life to what I've committed it to simply because I fear there's something worse. It's because this is the best. I have tasted the Lord, and he is good. Now, you can argue all day theology with me. That's fine. I like that. We'll go. We can argue all day politics. I less like that one, but we can go. We can argue all day about college football or whatever. We can go all day. But ladies and gentlemen, you will never, ever, ever talk me out of my personal experience with the Lord. On that, I am the sole expert. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? Are you sure? Are you confident? You could be that, you know, you've never really placed your faith in what God says. You never really pushed all the chips into the table, if I could use that illustration. You never went all in. Oh, you talk about it and those things, but you've never gone all in. My friends, what you'll get from the Lord is what you put in. And I say this all the time because it makes me laugh. Just being around God will not make you a Christian any more than being in McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. You got to be all in. You got to be all in. And one of the challenges of being a Christian, because I am one, is some days you feel all in and some days you think, I'm going to pull a little back. Because I'm a living sacrifice, that's a whole different topic. But it could be that you're here today and you've never really gone all in. How about today? It was a day much like this day in a church similar to this church that someone invited me to church and I went. And consequently, there was a day just like this day. And there was an invitation just like this one to go all in. And I knew what I had. And quite truthfully, I thought, well, I'm going to give this a try because that isn't satisfying. And I went in. I went all in with the Lord. And 32 years later, I wouldn't change a day. Amen. Not every day is rose. But I'm all in. Are you all in? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you go all in for Jesus today? If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've received Christ, you believed on him by faith, and you've walked with him at times closer than other times, can I ask you this? How in are you? How in are you? Is it time for you to kind of push that back up a little bit? Has your faith just become something of convenience? Well, I'll do it if it fits my calendar. I had someone tell me recently that a church, their pastor didn't show up on Sunday morning, Jeff. Didn't show up. Didn't show up. Didn't call in, just didn't show up. The next Sunday, how he got the second one back, I don't know. He says this, it just slipped my mind. Now, I'm going to say this. If my pastor has Sunday morning slip his mind, he needs to slip on and do something else. Because I want you to know, I live for Sunday mornings. This is the peak of my week. It's a priority. Believe it or not, it's a priority. Sunday morning's a priority for me. But you see, we as Christians, sometimes we can get so comfortable that our commitment level starts to slide back. And there's so many good things in our lives, and those things start competing, the question is, do you want good or great? Is God number one? Because if he's not number one, something else is. And the Bible calls it idolatry. That's a whole different sermon. But if God's not number one, that means he is not guiding everything else. And we as adults need to make sure he's number one. How's your commitment level? Is it time to recommit? I didn't think I had one there. Let's just take a second and talk to ourselves. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to take just a minute. We won't be long at this, I promise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a few quick questions here, all right? Now, understand this. No one's going to come to you. No one's going to call you out. That's not what we're doing here, all right? But I want you to communicate with me here a little bit. And what's paramount is that you're honest with you. You can lie to me and whatever, but you need to be honest with you. If you're here today and you'd say to me, Jimmy, I have uncertainties in my life that are causing weakness in my life, would you just slip your hand up and slip it back down? I have uncertainties in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want to ask you this. In your mind, on that little video screen right there in front of your eyes, there's a battery. There's a battery icon. You know that battery icon, the one on your cell phone that runs your life? Because when you get down there and it turns red, everyone starts running like their hair's on fire. So you have one of those right there. There's one right there in front of you. Down at the very bottom, it says zero. Zero. Up at the top, it says 100%. 100%. Let me ask you this question. Between zero and 100%, being honest with you, because you're the only one that can see your screen, how committed to the Lord are you? How in are you in? Now, I don't know what your number is, but you do. You know what your number is. Now, I want to ask you this. As you're looking at your screen and you see your number, I want to ask you this question. How many of us in here, including myself, would raise our hand and say, I need to increase my all-in with the Lord? If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I need to increase my all-in. Okay, great. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to do this. Would you just talk to him from your heart to his heart and say, Lord, I know I need something more than what I've got. Lord, I need hope and help and encouragement and strength. I need all those things Jimmy just spoke about. I need those. And God, today, I want to believe on you for them. God, I know less than what I do, but what I do know is I need something more, and that something is you. And just whisper a prayer. Lord, I need you. I need your provision. I need your forgiveness. Lord, I am insufficient in myself. God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Save me. And help me to grow more in love with you each and every day. If that's you today, the Bible says that you have entered into a relationship with God and that all the promises that we spoke of this morning are yours. Now the question is how do you begin to access those? We would consider it our privilege to help you. And I would like for you to share that decision with whoever you may be here with there. You can share it with me in just a few moments. But we would be honored, I would be honored, to help you begin this journey of faith. Father, we thank you for today. And Lord, we live in some uncertain days. But Father, there is a certainty, and you are it. Father, you say in your word that you're unchanging. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, you say that you are omnipresent. That means you're everywhere at the same time. Lord, there is no tomorrow or yesterday with you. There's just now. And Father, we thank you that in uncertain days, we can have a certainty. Not in what will happen or won't happen, but a certainty in a God who will see us through. And a God who has the power and the desire to take the difficult things and produce beautiful things. Father, I pray for each and every one of us today, Lord, as we look at that screen in our mind and we ask ourselves, how all in are we with you? Father, I pray, beginning with myself, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, to up that number. Lord, I want to walk closer to you tomorrow than I am right now. Father, help us as individuals. Help us as a body of faith, Lord, to be all in. Because our world needs it. Lord, because you deserve it. And Lord, it's what's best for us too. Father, bless each and every one who is here today. Father, let them leave this place feeling more encouraged, more energized, more secure than they did perhaps when they walked in. And we'll give you the glory for it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.